The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
On today's episode, find out if religious OCD is an attack from Satan. Hello and welcome to the show. This is Grace in Focus, and I am Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thanks for joining us. Currently, we're in a series where we're taking questions from listeners just like you. You can get your questions answered by sending them to us through email, radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Hey, welcome to the show. My name's Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
And we're taking your questions on Bible, theology, salvation, all those things. And here is a question from Morocco.
Okay.
This is from Rita. Rita says, I believe in free grace, once saved, always saved theology. But I suffer from religious OCD, which mostly takes the form of intrusive thoughts. Some of these thoughts I have are blasphemous to the Holy Spirit of the Lord. So does that mean I've committed the unforgivable sin? Sometimes deep inside of me, I fear that I do not believe wholeheartedly in the Lord Jesus Christ. I try to resist those thoughts, but the uncertainty about whether or not my heart deeply believes in the Lord still persists, since OCD attacks the very foundation of one's core beliefs. Third question, are these intrusive thoughts attacks from Satan against the saints? Four, does he attack the saved through these planted seeds of doubt? And do they count as a form of persecution? So there's a bunch of good questions.
Yeah. Well, let me say, I don't think I'm quite OCD, but I am OC. I am obsessive and compulsive, and I strive against it. I have a friend I went to Dallas Seminary with who's written a book about obsessive compulsive disorder, a pastor.
What book is that?
Jeff Wells. I can't remember the title of it, but people can Google it. He was an Olympic marathoner. I didn't get to go to the 80 Olympics because we boycotted Moscow. But he was a world-class marathoner and pastor. When he was in, I think, his late 30s, early 40s, he had a crisis due to the OCD, and he didn't even know he had it. They treated him and gave him medication, and he gained victory. So you might want to read about that. But here's what I've experienced in dealing with people who have OCD. First of all, I think intrusive thoughts is a good way to put it, very good way. Secondly, is this from Satan? I would say no, but Satan uses it. In mm-hmm. other words, if you were an atheist and you had OCD, you'd have intrusive thoughts too. And it would be intrusive thoughts about something that was important to you. So the reason why the believer has intrusive thoughts in this area is because this is so important.
So what you're saying is you don't need Satan to explain the intrusive thoughts.
Right. Now, Satan can take advantage of that, of course, but that's not to say that that's why someone has OCD and someone else doesn't. I would also say make sure you take your meds. If this person truly has OCD, they should be on medication.
Yeah, see a doctor, talk to a doctor,
right.
Follow their advice.
Because look at it this way. If you were a diabetic and you needed insulin to avoid going into comas and to be able to think straight, well, there's nothing unspiritual about taking insulin, right?
Right.
Well, in the same way, if you're a paranoid schizophrenic and you discover this typically at around age 20, 21, 22, I'm told you have 6 months in which to start medication. And if you don't, basically, it's very difficult to ever get it under control. But if you take medication starting it within 6 months of onset, paranoid schizophrenia can be held in check.
Mm.
And with OCD, it can be held in check with medication. But now other things are needed too, like counseling, like exercise, sleep, diet, lots of things. But if a person can't think straight, then their spiritual health is impaired.
Right. Not their salvation, though.
Not right.
If someone
no.
is born again and they can't think straight, you're still born again. You're still eternally secure. You're talking about not only your spiritual health, just probably your just overall growth as a person.
Exactly. And the thing about it is, people with OCD have lots and lots of moments of lucidity.
Sure.
And when
it's mostly lucid, right?
And then so when he's lucid, he knows he's once saved, always saved.
Right.
And he believes it.
Yeah.
But the point is, you only need to believe that once in your life in order to be born again forever. That's
right.
What once saved, always saved means,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So the point is, he is born again because he's come to faith in Christ. Now, is this persecution? I don't know if it strictly falls into that category, but what I would say is it's a handicap to be overcome.
Yeah.
And if you overcome it, it's highly rewardable.
Is it a cross to bear? Is it a form of suffering? Is it what it
is? It's definitely a form of suffering. I mean, it would be any other ailment, physical or mental or emotional. I grew up in an alcoholic family. That's in great part why I'm obsessive compulsive and perfectionistic and a lot of the things, I'm pretty sure I have post-traumatic stress disorder. I jump at the smallest sound.
I scare you every day.
Oh, you do, Sean. You laugh, too. You think it's funny. Last week, I hear the front door open. I said, hello, and nobody comes in. So we have UPS drivers and stuff. So I go walking out to the front door, and I'm walking up there, and suddenly Sean jumps out from a side thing and with his fists up.
Well, now you're making me feel guilty.
I'm like, I said, you're lucky I just didn't haul off and drop you right here. Of course, the problem is, you know, Sean's stronger than I am and younger than I am and hits harder, so I'm afraid that wouldn't have been a fair fight. But I consider any kind of mental illness to be a handicap to be overcome,
right,
for the glory of God. And so this is something that Rita can overcome. I don't know what the population of the world, that is the OCD population of the world, is. Let's assume it's tens of millions of people, right? And probably is.
Yeah.
If there are tens of millions of people with OCD, there are probably, you know, lots and lots and lots of OCD people who are born again.
We hear a lot from
right.
OCD people, a
right.
lot.
So there could be millions of them. And the point is, if you can be an overcomer in that group, that is highly rewardable. And an overcomer is one who continues to walk with Christ.
Right.
And you need to tune out the intrusive voices.
Right.
And you need to learn to walk by faith, not by the intrusive voices.
Now, there is one issue here I think we should talk about here. Twice, Rita talks about whether or not he believes wholeheartedly in the Lord.
Oh, yes.
And whether or not his heart deeply believes in the Lord. That, to me, suggests a little bit of confusion about faith, where I think we can help with this. Because if you start thinking about faith as a feeling that you have deep inside of you, and you start trying to figure out, have I felt something deeply enough? And there's really no standard to know what enough is. You're just going to obsess over that, and you're never going to have peace. And that's not what faith is in the first place.
Right. That will make the OCD worse.
Yeah.
So, good point. Let's ask Rita if he believes that Russia is a country. Well, does he believe that wholeheartedly?
Right.
Does he believe that deeply within his soul?
Right.
Well, he doesn't ask that question because it's kind of silly, right? You either believe Russia's a country or you don't believe Russia's a country.
Right.
Does Rita believe Putin is the head of Russia? If he does, it's not a matter of how deeply or wholeheartedly or anything else. In the same way, do you believe that Jesus guarantees everlasting life to all who believe in him? Do you believe John 3:16? Whoever believes in him has everlasting life. If you do, well, there's no depth of that belief. It's you either believe it or you don't. It's a yes or no. What do you call that in computers? Zero or one,
yeah.
right?
You're either persuaded that something is true or you're not. And if you're persuaded that it's true, then you believe in Jesus wholeheartedly, I guess you could say.
Now, I do have some articles on degrees of faith if you go to faithalone.org. And one of the things I suggest is there's probably a million or millions of things in the Bible to be believed.
Right.
And if you believe, let's say, 10 of them, that's great. And if one of the 10 you believe is the promise of Jesus of everlasting life, then you're born again. But there's a whole lot more to be believed.
Yeah.
And I also point out that, look, if you believe in Jesus for your eternal salvation, for your eternal destiny, and you believe that based on the empty tomb.
Yeah.
And also, of course, the cross. and you have no other evidence for that, well, then you still have strong reason to continue to believe that, right? But if you begin to be confronted by agnostics and atheists who are questioning the empty tomb,
yeah,
and they're giving you different theories of the resurrection, your faith might begin to waver because you don't believe, for example, that Jesus walked on water. You don't believe that he fed 5,000.
Right.
You don't believe that Saul of Tarsus met Jesus on the road to Damascus. When you start adding in more things you believe,
yeah,
your faith becomes more diversified in the sense that now I'm not believing based on one sign, but I'm based on many signs, and I'm also basing my faith on other factors.
Right. I've heard it compared to a spider's web. If you believe just one thing, just the promise of life, that's like one thread. Now, one thread is pretty easy to break. But once you start believing all the other truths of the Bible, you start adding all of those threads, and suddenly you have this very thick web that becomes a lot stronger. And so I think maybe what we're talking about is not believing Jesus more deeply, but having more of a biblical worldview.
I love that. And you're right. It's more than just different lines of evidence that Jesus is the Messiah who guarantees eternal life. It's also the whole worldview of the Bible and of Jesus.
Right.
And the more that happens, the thicker your web gets. I like that.
Yeah.
By the way, let me throw out one more thing.
Yeah.
This last Sunday, we sang a song. You ask me how I know he lives. What's the answer?
He lives within my heart.
And I remember Norm Geisler. I had him for one class in seminary, and he said, do not sing that line. He said, that is wrong.
Uh-huh.
He said, the Buddhists claim that their truths are founded upon the feelings they have.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the Mormons talk about the burning in the bosom.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you ask me how I know he lives? The Bible tells me so.
Right.
And the Bible's authoritative. It's not because he lives within my heart, although he does live within my heart. But how would you know he lives within your heart? Not by a feeling.
Right.
And that's what Rita's dealing with. It's not a feeling.
That's right. You know it by revelation, and your job is to believe that revelation.
Absolutely.
You believe what God says. Well, Reed, I hope that helps. Thank you for writing from Morocco, and we'd love to hear from people from all over the world, and I'm just thrilled that people from all over the world can hear the message of God's free grace. Keep on sending your questions to us at radio@faithalone.org, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Maybe you'd like to go deeper on the subjects that we cover in this show. And if that's the case, we would love for you to come visit us at our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have free magazine subscription. We have teaching videos, podcasts, blog posts, all kinds of free materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture and faith. So come visit us at faithalone.org, faithalone.org. This show and all of our ministries are made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. I hope that you might consider becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society. If so, you can find out how on faithalone.org. We love to hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question or a comment or some feedback. If you do, we want to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. On tomorrow's program, we're going to talk about whether belief is a choice, so tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.